Africa needs Jesus. Give a radio and give hope. Many parts of Africa do not have the means of connecting to the internet. So join with the Truth Network and Transworld Radio to put the Word of God straight into the hands of those most in need in Africa. Visit truthnetwork.com and click on the Africa Needs Jesus banner or call 888-988-5656 to pledge your gift to put a wind-up radio into the grateful hands of people desperately in need.
This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology, and we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Get ready. It's one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on cultural and political issues. An apologist, Christian political advocate, and author. Here is the founder and chairman of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes.
Hello, it's Family Friday, and welcome to the Christian Perspective. This is my favorite day of the week on the radio show because my favorite co-host, my only co-host, Connie Albers is here each and every Friday. And boy, if she wasn't so famous in her own right and busy all the time, I'd love to have her on her show every day. Connie, I just don't know how you do it with you're writing new books, you're producing TV or movie shows, you're being a guest on a series of TV shows. God's really blessing you right now. Before we jump into that, though, I want to thank Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary for being the home of the Christian Perspective Studios, where we come to you each and every weekday on the Christian Perspective. If you're looking for a college to attend, the College of Mid-America is a great school, or Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary is a great place to get a master's degree. You may not realize that the word seminary scares people, and they think, oh, well, I've got to be a pastor to go to seminary. No, anybody can go to seminary. It's a master's degree, and they have a great new program I just learned about the other day. In apologetics. And apologetics is how we defend our faith. And every Christian, I think, should be an apologist to know what they believe and why they believe it. So check out Mid-America or the College at Mid-America at mabts.edu. That's mabts.edu. And if you are thinking about coming and visiting the campus, will you email me and let me know you're coming? I'd love to take you and grab some barbecue. There's a great barbecue in Memphis, and I'd love to visit with you when you come to the campus. Anytime our listeners are here, I'm excited to meet them and to get to know them a little bit better. And I want to thank our main sponsor, the Citizens for America Foundation. If you want to learn how to develop a biblical worldview to know what you believe and why you believe it, visit citizensforamericafoundation.com. That's citizensforamericafoundation.com. And while you're there, register for the Culture Engagement Summit coming up on April 30th. That's a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow, the Culture Engagement Summit. It's tomorrow. I'm a week off. The Culture Engagement Summit in Memphis, Tennessee. We'd love to have you, even though it's tomorrow. It's not too late, and you can still come. So we're looking forward to seeing you there. Well, Connie, boy, God is moving in your life in an incredible way right now, and I just want to ask our listeners to be praying for you because God's opened so many doors for you. Not only are you kind of running our ministry for family at Citizens for America, but you're working on a new book project and just working, I think, about 16 or 17 hours a day. It's unreal how busy you are right now, but God's just opening so many doors, and I'm excited about what God's doing for you.
Oh, Chris, thanks for sharing in the excitement of what God is doing. And truly, it is the Lord, because there was quite a long season where I wouldn't say God had me on the bench, but I was certainly processing a lot of trials and grief, and there were years of that, and that just lifted, and as God lifted it, he said, go, and here we are, and things are moving, and I couldn't be more excited for what's going on. I can't say exactly where God is going with all of this, but my palms are open and I'm saying, you lead, I'll go. I'll just be obedient.
That is the key. You know, all throughout the Bible, God talks about just obeying him and trusting him. And you and I are living kind of a parallel thing right now where, you know, really with both of us, I mean, we've been successful in a lot of areas in our lives, but about a year ago, God gave us both kind of a new vision of things that he wanted to use us to do. And goodness, it's like he took the brakes out of our cars, Connie, and we're on full steam ahead right now. Like you, I mean, I'm like every day I wake up, God, like, what's now? I've shared this with you. I don't think I've shared it on the radio show. I gave a speech in North Carolina last week strictly about the miracles that God has done through this radio show and Citizens for America in the last 6 months. I can write a book on it. It is unreal when God tells us to do something, if we'll just trust him. And you know, Connie, there's been times I've been nervous financially, like, God, how are we going to do this? Or, you know, how are we going to get these speakers to do this or that and the other? But when I calm down and trust God, he is faithful in what he's doing. And I just love what he's doing with you, because your ministry is so important. Every one of us has a family. And there are not a lot of people in the world that do what you do to reach out and touch families. And I'm so thankful for that. I guess a few days ago, Connie, President Biden had a loss because a judge, I think it was in Florida, a judge said that he was going to remove the mask mandate on federal transportation and on airplanes and buses and trains, where people wouldn't have to wear masks anymore. And, you know, that kind of leads into what you and I are talking about. We're coming out of this pandemic. And that was, to me, that was kind of like one of the last bastions, because it's so frustrating to me. Now, I'm not mad at anybody. If you want to wear a mask, you wear it. You know, I don't care. But I don't want you making me wear one over a political statement. So I was glad where now, if you want to wear one on a bus or train, you can. If I don't want to, I don't have to. But to me, that was like the last sign we are coming out of this pandemic. And that's really going to be a new territory, I think, for families. Connie, what do you think?
You're exactly right. And when you talk about the miracles on our team text thread, I often get a text coming through from you saying, God did something else. God did another miracle. God brought this. God did that. And that's just such a source of encouragement, because when you walk with the Lord, it's not a stagnant, stale, dry list of to-dos and not-to-dos. It's an active, living, live, vibrant life. And so often we think that it's not. So it encourages me, and I want your listeners to be encouraged as well. You know, there are seasons, but as we are coming out of a season right now, you know, Disney's just announced at the time of this recording, they're no longer requiring the mask. There are all these protocols, you know, in place. You know, character meet and greets are coming back. You know, normal life is starting to return, but, and that's what we're going to talk about, there's a fallout. There is a fallout from all that we have gone through as a nation, as a city, a county, a family. And we're going to talk about parenting in a post-pandemic life. What does that look like, and how can parents navigate it? You've been doing the best you can with, depending on where you live, some cities, some states, some local officials have been completely on opposite ends of the spectrum on their approaches. So your family often gets confused. Are we on lockdown? Are we not on lockdown? Are schools open? Are schools closed? Do our kids have to wear masks? Do they not have to wear masks? Do they, you know, we've had the fallout from the family is real. And I was doing some research for the book, actually, and finding out that 6 out of 10 families, Chris, are in some form of family counseling or therapy or they're having a mental health crisis. 6 out of 10. And I share that because I want you to know, if you're listening as a believer, you're not immune to fallout from trauma, from the conflict, from the strife, from the division. You're not immune to that. I mean, you have a point of refuge, which is obviously going to the Lord and being in his word. That is your refuge. That is your hope in times of crisis and trial. but there still can be some fallout. You still might need some extra help to work through some of what has happened. So as if that's you, I don't want you to feel like there's something wrong with you, with your family, with maybe your parenting. Maybe there is, or maybe there's something wrong with your child. Maybe there is. Maybe it's just nobody, as you know, we're as mom and dad, typically, we're not psychologists. We're not counselors. We're parents. And we're trying to navigate the seasons that we have been through. So if that's you, don't feel guilt or shame. Get the help. But I will say this, as we dive into this, who you select needs to be from a biblical perspective. They've got to come at it from a Christian perspective, hence, you know, a Christian perspective. They have to have that. Otherwise, you're going to get, you're going to get more tactics that may not apply to your family values or biblical values. And you want whoever is helping you or your child navigate and get their feet strongly back on the ground, build your family closer. You want the foundation of that to be based on the Bible and what God has for your family, and reestablishing those family values and affirming those, as opposed to what we are seeing, and that is, the parents are being undermined and marginalized, and kids are being told, don't tell your parents, and parents are trying to get information, and they're told to butt out. It's not your place. Thanks for having these kids. We'll take over from here. That's what we're going to talk about.
It's an important topic right now, Connie. My wife, Vicki, is a nursing professor, but her background is mental health and specifically working with children and adolescents. And you're right, they're seeing a big uptick right now in families and children who need to get mental health help. And, maybe somebody's listening today and they're saying, well, you know, that's embarrassing. I don't want to have to get counseling. That's not something that you should be embarrassed about. Sometimes you need someone to talk to. Sometimes you need help or a counselor that will pray with you that will help you get through these difficult times. Tell you what, Connie, before we really jump into it, let's take a quick commercial break. If we come back, we're going to talk about some of the mental health issues that families are seeing post-pandemic, and not just mental health, there are other issues as well. So y'all, if you're listening, I want you to stick around. Call your friends, tell them to listen, because it's Family Friday. Connie Albers is here, and there's always great information when Connie is with us each and every Friday. Stick around. Be right back.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
Walk in the footsteps of Jesus and see the Bible come to life. This December, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, on a life-changing trip to Israel. It's one of the world's oldest and most fascinating travel destinations, luring the faithful from all over the world for thousands of years. Visit Jerusalem's religious quarters and explore Christianity's most treasured religious sites, like the Wailing Wall, the Dome of the Rock, and the Via Dolorosa. Walk with Chris through the winding alleyways of Nazareth's Old City and visit ancient Bethlehem, the place of our Savior's birth. Float in the Dead Sea, visit the Sea of Galilee, and the Jewish fortress of Masada. See firsthand where the events of the Bible took place. Touring Israel with Dr. Chris Hughes is a travel odyssey like no other. Visit CitizensForAmericaFoundation.com and get ready for an unforgettable trip and memories that will last a lifetime.
Do you desire to build family relationships that stand the test of time? Does creating a godly family seem like a daunting challenge? You're not alone. I'm Connie Albers, author of Parenting Beyond the Rules and host of Equipped to Be. As a mother of five, I understand your struggles. For 35 years, I have been helping families just like yours build lasting relationships. I'd like to invite you to tune in to Equipped to Be and visit ConnieAlbers.com, where I share useful tips and proven strategies to help you navigate the seasons of motherhood, faith, and life with confidence and joy.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer. damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead, were the words of Admiral David Farragut, who captured Mobile, Alabama, and on this day, April 29, 1862, captured New Orleans. Under tremendous fire, he breached the heavy chain cable that stretched across the Mississippi and led his ships up the channel filled with mines called torpedoes. The loss of New Orleans was a major disaster for the South, as it was the Confederacy's largest city. During his last illness, David Farragut, the Navy's first four-star admiral, asked for a clergyman to pray to the Lord for him, saying, "He must be my pilot now."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back to Christian Perspective. It's Chris Hughes. My good friend and co-host Connie Albers is here today, and she's always got information on topics that are really affecting my family and other families. I know all of you listening each and every week. And today we're talking about kind of a post-pandemic situation of how that has affected our families, how things are going to be different now than they were maybe a few weeks ago as we're coming out of some of these mask mandates, hopefully across the nation. But masks have had effect on children, and I'm not trying to make a negative political statement there, just and hopefully Connie can jump in this with us on this, some of this, but they have had effect on socialization and others, having to get shots, not to get shots. The fear of that affects families and their mental health, as we don't know what some of the possible results of these vaccinations are going to have long-term, particularly on young people that have taken. And so much more is going on in our society right now. Maybe your family has reached a point where you need to help. So, Connie, if someone is wanting to get mental help, you mentioned a minute ago about being careful. I know a lot of churches offer mental health, Christian counseling. Where would you suggest that someone starts if their family does need help?
You said it perfectly. Start with your local church. See if they have a crisis center, if they have psychologists, help counselors that can walk through, that are able and equipped to deal with what you and your family might be going with, whether it's you're in conflict because you're in disagreement, or your child's frustrated because they're having suicidal thoughts. Maybe they've become addicted to some medications that you weren't aware of as your kids get older. All the coping mechanisms that they have been trying to kind of get your kids have been trying to kind of get through. Maybe they've gotten isolated. Maybe they've withdrawn. I would start with your local church and then just start doing some searches nearby. When you are interviewing, and I really strong, now I'm not a counselor. I want to make that disclaimer on here. I am not a mental health professional. I am not a counselor. I am a parenting and education focused expert. These are the things that we're dealing with. We want to help our kids before they reach a crisis level. There's not even a lot of research yet, Chris, because the pandemic started. Everybody was afraid, and legitimately everybody was afraid. It was something that none of us have faced before because, frankly, none of us were around probably when the Spanish flu came through. So it was new to us, and there was a big shift in our culture. Then as time grew on, what was a natural, like a real virus, became a political issue. And that's where we got in trouble. So contact your local churches, ask for recommendations. And then when you start calling counseling centers, ask where they come from, what they come from. You know, even counseling centers now and licensed mental health professionals, they're even being impacted by this. There was some research, there were some articles I read that, you know, they were struggling themselves. And so here you're taking your child to them and they're wrestling with their own kids, with their own lives. So it's created this quagmire, so to speak. But let's just kind of talk about what we can do as parents. Maybe you're the 4 and 10, or maybe you're not. Maybe you think you need help or not, but let's just back up and let's talk about what we can do before we have to go that route, or in the decision-making process of selecting someone, and that is, it starts with observation, Chris. If your kids have started dressing differently, if your children maybe run to the bathroom after they've had a meal, if your children seem to need Band-Aids quite a bit, if they're staying away from people, they're not engaging like they used to, start with observation. Notice if there's any negative or changes to their behavior, even their conversation. Those are warning signs that you may need to get some extra help, or you as a mom and dad or caregiver need to start carving out some extra time to get to the root of what's causing it. Sometimes, Chris, it's not a mental health issue. Sometimes it's just a straight up, I'm really sad that I've gotten behind, that I'm not going to get this scholarship, that I'm not going to get this award that I've been spending years preparing for. I'm not going to make, I didn't make the team, and there's fallout from the loss that they experienced. And mom and dad, you and I both know, and Chris, you know, our kids, as high achievers as they might be, and maybe they're not, maybe they've been creative and they're not creative anymore. As much as we start to notice that, when we are willing to step into their world and see through their lens, we have the opportunity to touch their heart. And we have to remember, we are, I don't care what society, what a teacher, what a coach, what anyone says, parents, you're the primary influence in your child's life. Don't abdicate that. Don't give that up to somebody else. Fight for that. Your children need to know that you're there. You're their biggest cheerleader. But you do want to watch them and study them. And just the thought, Chris, of observation means that we're paying attention, we're watching, we're studying, and we're doing it, we're suspending judgment. As parents, as we're trying to navigate this, try to suspend your judgment. Don't base life on what 2019 was. Things are very different. Some of you that are listening, your families are closer. I mean, it brought you closer together because you spent more time together. Some of you, it didn't. Maybe you spent so much time together and you started seeing how we're broken people. We're sinful people. We're not always thoughtful. We're not always kind. We're not always considerate. We don't always esteem others as more highly than ourselves. Maybe we haven't handled stress quite as well as we would like from a parent's perspective. But we want to suspend the judgment when we begin observing what's going on in our children. You have to realize that you are the position of influence in your children. Lives, and that is only abdicated when we let that go, or when we believe somebody who says, no, we're the experts and we're the authority. And I do want you to be careful if you do seek counsel and you do need a counselor, that it is there is a client counselor privilege, but as a family counselor, a family therapist, the goal is to make the family stronger, to turn the hearts of children to their parents. That's very important. Does that make sense, Chris?
Yeah, and you know, when you're looking at, I want to back up for a second when you talk about looking at counselors, because I said go to a church. I want to be clear, just because somebody's at a church, don't just think they're automatically good. You still need to research and find out what their biblical worldview is and where they stand. Because I know there are a lot of people who claim to be Christian counselors that may not share the same Christian beliefs that I share. So check them out. Well, kind of with what you were just saying, I know this made me think about where you're going, but I would also want to be careful as a parent, particularly if I had young children, because you were talking about confidentiality and that kind of thing. I would want to make sure that, at least me, and maybe I'm off with this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I would not want a counselor who's going to listen to my child and not share with me the issues that we as a family, I mean, I think I would want us to be engaged as a family in counseling. One thing I really don't like with what's going on in society now, and I might be the Lone Ranger with this, is how school counselors and others talk to our kids about things, and they never share that information with parents. I should know this. I don't know. I mean, are there rules if our family's going to go find a counselor? I'm just like, you know, if I needed one, I don't want them hiding from me, you know, how we can get better as a family. Do you know what the rules are with children and counselors
I'm not sure. I'm sure every state is different, but I do know that there is a level of patient confidentiality. If, however, there is threat of harm, like a child's cutting or a child is having suicidal thoughts or harming others, that their coping mechanisms are leading toward danger or obstruction, then others can be brought in. So, Chris, the wisest thing is to interview whoever you bring in to help your family. Interview them. Ask those questions. Do you keep all confidences? Do you share? The child, there also is, the child has to be willing to grant permission for the parents. So there are laws that protect the thoughts, the conversations, but you interview them and you talk to your children. Now, this brings up a great point, Chris, and that is, When I talk about knowing and studying your children and talking to them, encouragement is your best friend as they're going through things. Letting them know that their identity is found within the Lord and the family, that they belong with the family unit. They're not property. It's not shared custody with the school system. That the school system, the parents, the educators, the teachers, the educators, the administrators, whatever it is, that they don't have supreme rule, and to teach your children to have those conversations. Hey, if someone ever tells you, if someone adult, someone who's in a position of authority, and they ever tell you, hey, don't tell your parents, or we're going to keep this private so you can tell me, your children need to know that there's something awry about that, that's not how God intended for our family to function. We are an open family. We communicate with one another. We're here for one another. We're doing life together. And the only way we can do life together is if we're communicating with each other and not having these segmented conversations. It doesn't mean that they don't share, I'm sad, I'm feeling blue. But as a parent, you've got to be aware, which, Chris, it takes time. It's an investment of your time, your energy. You are processing the pandemic differently than your child. Their loss could be monumental compared to what you feel. You may feel like the lockdowns or the separation and it may just roll right off your back. Whatever. It doesn't bother me. We're just going to roll with it. Well, for your kids, it might not be that. They're social creatures. God made us for relationships.
Well, you sure will. Folks, we're talking about parenting and family life post-pandemic. Stick around, we'll be right back.
The United States of America has a strong Christian heritage, but most Americans don't know the truly important role that God and the Bible played in the founding of this great nation. This June, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, for 4 amazing days in our nation's capital. With Chris, you'll embark on a journey of discovering the hidden secrets of Washington, D.C., and rediscover much of America's forgotten Christian heritage. Your tour will include an up-close and personal look at the nation's establishment and how it's evolved over the centuries. Learn about the government and the men who helped forge this new kind of republic, one that acknowledged the Creator from its very inception. Know the truth about the creation of the United States of America, about the faith of the founding fathers, and how Christian principles were used to establish this form of government. Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com today and secure your spot to join Chris Hughes in Washington, D.C. this June.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
The Conservative Baptist Network is a dynamic movement of Southern Baptist pastors, churches, and Christians committed to standing for the sufficiency of God's Word in the face of a culture of compromise. The passion and prayer of the Conservative Baptist Network is that God would help Southern Baptists stay bold for the gospel so that we might see revival in America and the world reached for Christ. Visit our website today at conservativebaptistnetwork.com to learn how you and your church can join and support this exciting movement.
Welcome back to Christian Perspective. Connie Albers and I are talking today about parenting in the post-pandemic world. And Connie, I know we're going to talk about social impacts.
There is a loss of social development. The mask mandates did that, and it was ignored for a long time. What it was doing to our children. I mean, there are social cues that our kids learn from being able to look at somebody smile, and even the way that they smile. Maybe it's a half smile, or the smile slightly turned down, or the one lip is raised above the other. You know, it's hard to read facial expressions when all you can see is eyes, especially if people aren't real expressive with their eyes. But our kids are socially, they're trying to play catch up, reading social cues. Socially, in the pandemic, what has happened has also radically impacted our culture. And that is what your kids were able to say just a couple years ago. They're really thinking, what am I allowed to say today? What word is banned from use? What word can be misinterpreted? I was reading another article how with drugs and how our kids are learning coping mechanisms, and emojis are now signifying what kind of drug your kid is looking for, so that parents can't know. They'll just think, oh, that's just a blue heart, where a blue heart may signify something differently. They're using social platforms to basically have transactions in a way that doesn't alert anybody. But parents, as you're listening and you're thinking, oh no, Connie, now you're freaking me out. And every time I speak about this topic, parents get afraid. I want you to not be afraid. Fear is not from the Lord. God says, do not be afraid. Trust the Lord. But that does mean you have to be active and engaged, and ask your children, how are you doing? The social setbacks from not being with their peer groups, the social impact of the I could be canceled at any moment for anything with or without reason that may or may not make any sense. What is right today is wrong tomorrow, and what is wrong today may be right tomorrow. Your kids are getting constant mixed messages. So you've got to have those conversations. Have them at the dinner table, not a time of correcting and, oh, you know what, that's so stupid, that's ridiculous. Don't marginalize.
You said something a while back about how parents need to be careful because our kids process things differently from us, and that we might see them as a small thing, but they're big things to our kids. And so parents, some of you might be like me, and I think Connie hates it when I go down these rabbit trails with that story, and I know my kids always cringe every time I start, but I know that was a real struggle for me as a parent. And for Vicky too, really me, because I'm more the troublemaker in the family, Connie. But when the kids came home from college, what was it, I guess in March of 2020 when this all happened, they were both, for a rare time, both the kids had spring break. I guess it's the only time since they've been in college at the same time. So we went on a cruise as a family, turned off all the cell phones, and didn't buy a plane because we wanted them, you know, just to spend time with us. We get back and get within range the last night of the cruise and find out that the world fell apart while we were out of the country. And, you know, for me, it really wasn't that big of a deal, particularly in the beginning. I mean, I look back when I was in college, I'm thinking, man, you mean I don't have to go back to college and get to study online? Woo, I'm going to be excited and have fun because I don't have to go back to school. But that's not how particularly my daughter took that, and I didn't really understand that, and probably was not sensitive enough to the fact. I mean, because I'm just, you know, also, y'all, I'm telling the truth here, I'm selfish as a dad. I'm thinking, okay, my kids are coming back home, I get to have them again. I know that's a terrible thing because we're supposed to let them grow up and go away, Connie, but I was excited. My son goes to school in Florida, so he wasn't home for very long because Florida, as Governor DeSantis says, it was the free state of the United States, and so he went back to school. My daughter went to school in Georgia. And I guess one thing I didn't understand with her, and I mean, I'm sharing my story, but I bet this is a similar situation with other parents, is she was really, really upset. One, because she takes school a lot more seriously than daddy did. And, you know, she's an academic and she wanted to go to medical school. She was going to a school that prepared, her for that life and for medical school. And a big part of that life was doing labs and hand-on lab work, which I hated labs. I mean, goodness, if I could get out of labs, I wanted to be out of labs. But she was really distressed because, you know, she wasn't going to get to do labs. And that seemed like a
I mean, I really had to reel it in, Connie, because at first I'm like, who cares? You know, what big deal? You don't cut a rat open. But it was a big deal to her. And I wasn't sensitive. Yeah. I mean, touching on this mental health issue. So I think we do have to be, like you said, that we need to be paying attention to little things that might seem like little things to us. As you said, we need to be alert to what's going on. And that's just a situation with me that I had to pay attention.
Yeah, and you know, there's wisdom to that you did notice that it was hard. I mean, we've talked about this before. It was hard. We do have to manage our expectations of what we have for our kids. And we talked about this when we were in the middle of all of this, but now as we're coming out of it and things are opening up and restrictions and mandates are being lifted, your children are still impacted by some of your kids. They're going to go right back into what they used to do before. Some of your children are going to be a little more fearful. They're going to be a little more cautious. They're going to be, you know, they're going to see somebody walking down the side of the road and a sidewalk, and they're going to walk way around them because for 2 years they've been programmed social distance, or they have been taught, you know, don't hug, don't touch, don't get too close. And that is in them, depending on one, the age of your child, the maturity of your child, and how your child perceived what was going on and really how your family talked about it.
Can I interrupt you there?
Yeah.
If I can interrupt you, I'm sorry, Connie, but what you said is really important for us. You know, I'm an older parent. Vicki and I thought we could have kids all 15 years before we had them. So I'm older, you know, we've lived a life where we've had those interactions, and sure, we took a 2-year break from it, but it's not that big a deal. We're swinging back into it. But what you said is so true. You know, when I speak on college campuses or visit high schools and stuff around the country, and I know you're seeing this, you know, I didn't realize, because like I said, for me, okay, I'm just hopping back in. But really, in a short life of a child, when 2 years is a major part of their life where they've not been doing this, and they're not snapping back into that. I do see people mm-hmm. literally walk a distance around me, or particularly before the mask lift came in place, because I wouldn't wear it a lot of times. People would avoid me like the plague, the younger people. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize it's a cultural difference that's going on. And Connie, I wanted to ask you also, in the last segment, you talked about how some kids are afraid of being canceled. And if you can, I know that's not really where we're going, but it's part mm-hmm. of it. We only got 3 minutes left in this segment. But Connie, you know, like I said, when I go in colleges, that is a huge thing that I think a lot of my generation just does not understand. Kids today are afraid. They're really more sensitive to what others think of them than I think our generation was. And being canceled is something that terrifies them.
Yeah, I don't know that it's something that, I don't know the generational issue as much as it just wasn't as prevalent. I mean, there was more tolerance for individual thought, conviction, belief. Oh, your family does that? Great. That's not how our family does it, but more power to you. Now there's this push for streamlining. Everybody has to have the same groupthink. Everybody has to have the same position. And if you have taught your children what your family values, or you've taught them what scripture says, and you know, we're facing a culture that wants to pretty much fair game for anything, whatever. And when you're teaching your children that cancel culture is more, they don't want their lives totally canceled. They've seen it happen. They've seen it happen to a friend. They've seen it happen at work. If you've got older kids, they've heard the comments on social media where kids say one thing and then they see the rain of comments that are horrific go after these people to silence them and shut them down. And they are afraid to speak, because at least right now, and I do believe the pendulum will swing. It usually does. It never swings all the way back to the other place. But, you know, right now, there isn't anything wrong with being wise in how you speak. And you can hold strong convictions and live your life. I mean, live your life by chapter and verse without saying chapter and verse. And what I mean by that is like lifestyle evangelism. We want our children, and there's going to be some that are willing, that God has prepared for them to speak up, stand up. They're going to face the resistance, the opposition to, they're going to call out what's wrong. And then you're going to have others that they're not. They want peace. They want unity. They want to get along. They just want to mind their business. As a mom and a dad, and this is very personal, this is a very personal family decision, you have to consider your child, the environment that they're in, the culture that's surrounding them, where you are as a parent, and you have to realize that what we do as mom and dad impacts our kids. The younger they are, the less they're impacted. The older they are, the more they're impacted. But when we think about cancel culture, we can't poo-poo it. And that's probably not okay to say, but we can't marginalize it or say it doesn't exist. It is real. So the number one thing I hear when I was writing Parenting Beyond the Rules, and when I talk all over the country and do radio shows and TV segments, the number one thing I hear from these kids is my parents just don't listen to me. They don't understand. They don't understand what I'm facing. And I just want to say to all you listeners, you don't understand the pressures that's put on these kids, the conformity, the pressures to be quiet, the pressures to respond exactly perfectly. And Chris, how many of us, I mean, we were up against the break. So just think about this. How many of you handled your adolescent, your high school, your middle school years perfectly? You knew exactly what to say and when to say it. No, none of them.
I know I didn't. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. This is such an important topic. As with everything with Connie, there's so much to learn in such a short period of time. Stick around. We'll be right back.
A brand is a design, name, symbol, or any other feature that sets an organization or individual apart. Bringing that brand to life can be difficult. But Diggs Design is here to help you take that next step or re-energize your current situation.
We can handle logos, social media graphics, cards, weddings, clothing, prints, photo editing, and much more. Give us a call today at 704-984-2432 or connect with Diggs Design on social media.
In a world crowded with viewpoints and voices.
Critical condition after a...
I believe the message of this...
Financial problems...
Only one voice matters, God's. At the College at Mid-America and Mid-America Seminary, we equip leaders to think from a biblical worldview, online or on our Memphis campus. Check out the College at Mid-America and Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary at mabts.edu and be equipped to light the way.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
Do you desire to build family relationships that stand the test of time? Does creating a godly family seem like a daunting challenge? You're not alone. I'm Connie Albers, author of Parenting Beyond the Rules and host of Equipped to Be. As a mother of five, I understand your struggles. For 35 years, I have been helping families just like yours build lasting relationships. I'd like to invite you to tune in to Equipped to Be and visit ConnieAlbers.com, where I share useful tips and proven strategies to help you navigate the seasons of motherhood, faith, and life with confidence and joy.
The United States of America has a strong Christian heritage, but most Americans don't know the truly important role that God and the Bible played in the founding of this great nation. This June, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, for 4 amazing days in our nation's capital. With Chris, you'll embark on a journey of discovering the hidden secrets of Washington, D.C., and rediscover much of America's forgotten Christian heritage. Your tour will include an up-close and personal look at the nation's establishment and how it's evolved over the centuries. Learn about the government and the men who helped forge this new kind of republic, one that acknowledged the Creator from its very inception. Know the truth about the creation of the United States of America, about the faith of the Founding Fathers, and how Christian principles were used to establish this form of government. Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com today and secure your spot to join Chris Hughes in Washington, D.C. this June.
Welcome back to the Christian Perspective. This is Chris Hughes. Connie Albers is just hitting the nail on the head today with issues that families are facing in the post-pandemic world. And we were talking about cancel culture, and a lot of us that are parents don't understand how this is such an important issue to children today. And I think, Connie, it got worse during the pandemic because, as you said, we're not seeing facial expressions. A lot of kids today don't even like to have a conversation on the telephone. It's usually on Snapchat. And, trying to parent my kids is difficult at times because I've got to tell them, you really need to have a conversation with somebody. I mean, I always like to document business items in writing, definitely, but you can't tell an expression or what people really think, see, or feel if you're not looking them in the eye. And we're losing that in this generation. What can we do to help our kids understand that, Connie?
Okay, well, that's a great question. We need to, when I talked about becoming a student of your kids and understanding what they're facing, I want you to ask the Lord to help you see through their lens. If you have an elementary school child and they're afraid because they've had plastic partitions in the classroom and they're really afraid, oh my goodness, we're going to get sick and die. They're children. Their processing is just not mature enough to reason. Their reasoning skills aren't there. So, like I was saying in the last segment, the number one response to parents, to kids about communicating with their kids, their parents, is that their parents don't listen. So here's some benefits that will help specifically. And that is, as a mom and dad, as a caregiver, ministry, youth worker, listening helps you understand somebody else's thought process. Ask your kids, and when I said the just defining observation is suspending your judgment. Just don't listen to correct your kids. Don't listen to say all that they're wrong, like, oh, that's silly thinking. No, listening helps you understand their process, their thought process. Once you understand their thought process, then you're able to help your children meet them exactly where they are, Chris, and then walk them further, like you were talking about your daughter. Once you understood this matters to her, then you're able to say, you know what, I need to, like, die to my desire of just wanting to be around you all the time because I love you so much, and I need to come alongside you and help figure out how you can get what feeds you, what your core need is, how you want to be with these people so you can learn. Listening also shows value and respect. Again, our kids want to be heard. They're struggling. They want to regain that academic ability level that they were achieving and was ripped away from them or was certainly adversely impacted. They want to be back with their friends, but they don't even know how to do that. How do I be back with my friends when I don't? My friends hated me because I had a position or I had a thought. So learning shows value and respect. Listening. Listening provides useful information you need to know. What their friends are dealing with, what their friends are facing, how they're trying to help their friends, how they're trying to even interact with their siblings that may be getting on their last nerve, or maybe they have, one is excelling and one is adapted just fine and the other one isn't. But listening it provides useful information that you can use, and then you're able to respectfully respond without sidelining, without marginalizing, without guilting, without shaming. Those are important for your children. And listening teaches your kids how to become better listeners. And when you were saying kids are just wanting to communicate through social media, there's a lot of listening happening, but kids are wanting to talk to somebody. So when you learn to listen to your children, when you stop what you're doing, or you tell them, you know what, I got to finish this deadline, I got to finish this project, if you give me 5 or 10 minutes, you'll have my full attention. And then you set your alarm on your device because it's right by your side. In 5 or 10 minutes, you stop and you go tell your child, hey, what was it you wanted to share with me? You're showing them that they matter and that your word means something. And if they just hang on for a minute, you're going to be there. And when you listen, really listen to learn, you're gaining their trust. And well, as they're coming out of... Go ahead,
I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say, that made me think about something that you posted on social media just a few days ago is the dinner table. I think you posted something about the importance of conversation, that kind of thing at the family dinner table.
Well,
I think that's a great time.
My kids were little, Chris. I don't know how we're doing with time, but when my kids were little, I did all the things. Let's talk about our hits and misses today. And everybody would comply. They'd go around, I played good at basketball, or I finished my math lesson, or I didn't get my work done, or whatever. And then it became, well, let's talk about what are you thankful and grateful for? Something. Sometimes your kids aren't grateful or thankful for anything because they had a terrible day. But you're helping them learn to find something. Today is a good day because God did what? I mean, you're alive. He provided food. You were able to take a hot shower. There's always something. So we're teaching our kids those things. And so you're right. I was sharing about that. And recently our family pretty much were blessed. We get together. Somebody is interacting with someone every day of our lives. And that was because, as you remember, we did the multi-generational living. I wanted our kids to want to do life with us, whether that's go get a movie, grab a bite, help fix a broken air conditioner, go look at a house you're considering buying, because your kids grow up. We still wanted them to seek, to be engaged with us. And so recently we got together and I had the laugh because they're not going around the table talking about their hits or misses. They're not going around the table telling everything that they're grateful for. Usually there's a lot of smack. There's usually a lot of cutting up, some sarcasm, some laughing at whatever happened in whatever situation, and it could even be the way the meat was presented on the table. It's not in a motivation to hurt or to tear down. It's in good fun. It's in good humor. And that's been cultivated, Chris, over a lifetime of dinner conversations of learning to listen and learning to respect and learning and them learning that we value them. And as they grow and mature and we're letting go, we're showing them respect and trust that, hey, I'm here. You want to talk? I'm here. I won't butt into. I won't push my way. But we have a relationship, and that's ultimately what we're going for. I just want to kind of close by saying this. It's, you know, Google may be the biggest search engine there is. I mean, everybody Googles everything from Bible verses to fixing windshield wipers. We Google it all. But what our kids are really longing for is a deeper answer to who they are, what God has called them to do, who has God made them to be. So it's a deeper core need that can't be found with simple device searches or TikTok videos. But that's something that can be found when we, as mom and dad, are seeking to build values and share our values and pass on traditions and pass on God's word and impart that to them, kids start to draw closer to us because they realize we're allies and not enemies. We're not the perpetual killjoys that doesn't want our children to do anything, that there will be a point where we transition from the teaching, training, to guiding, leading, encouraging, exhorting, sending them a Bible verse, sending them a, hey, I believe in you. I hope you have a great day. I was just thinking of you today. That's the natural transition that we want with our families. That, Chris, is going to help our families navigate a post-pandemic life.
Yeah. Well, Connie, thank you so much for being with us today and talk about this post-pandemic life, because it's such a timely issue for us right now, and we really need to be paying attention to our children and to listen to what they're saying, because a lot's going on right now, and we're the parents. We're the ones that are around them more often than anybody else, and we need to be attuned to what they're saying and thinking, and then get help for our family if we need it. Well, before we leave, Connie, I just want to plug, tomorrow is our big culture engagement summit. It's in Memphis, Tennessee. It's not too late for any of you to come anywhere across the country. A couple weeks ago, I allowed people to register free. I'm going to give you one last chance because we've got a few seats left. If you visit citizensforamericafoundation.com, citizensforamericafoundation.com, click the summit button on the top of the page, and then put in code AFA. That's AFA. You can attend absolutely free and get a free lunch. But the best part is Connie's going to be speaking throughout the day. She's going to be on panels and speaking on the main stage and breakout. It's worth the trip to Memphis just to hear Connie Alder speak. So we'll hope that we will see you tomorrow in Memphis, Tennessee for the Culture Engagement Summit. Connie, I can't wait to hear what you got to say tomorrow. Thank you so much for your ministry and your work and you and Tom and your family. And I'm excited for tomorrow. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. Thanks, Chris, for all you're doing.
Well, God bless you guys. This is important. Let's learn what we believe and why we believe it so we can impact the culture for Jesus.
Thank you for listening. The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Learn more about impacting the culture for Jesus.
Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com.
This is the Truth Network.